This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It was Friday night, October 30th, 1959, when a DC-3 went missing over the skies of Albemarle County. Only later did they learn that it had smashed into the side of Buck's Elbow Mountain, just west of Crozet, carrying 3 crew and 24 passengers, only one of whom survived to tell the story, and that is Philip Bradley. We will talk with him in just a few minutes at the top of the hour. He will be our guest from in the 5 o'clock hour, and we're looking forward to talking with him. But before we do, we're honored to have live in studio Kent Staples of Staples Barbershop, a native of Central Virginia, born at Martha Jefferson Hospital in 1932, and he was a supply sergeant in the National Guard back in 1959. And you were one of those guys who had the, I don't know what kind of duty, how to describe that duty, but you had to go up there on the mountain and get the bodies. It was amazing. Tell us first, Ken, and thank you for being here, but tell us first, where were you that Friday night, October 30th, 1959?
50 years is a long time ago, Coy. It was, I was at the Albemarle High School football game. It was raw night, drizzly rain. And matter of fact, I went back home at halftime. It was just wasn't a night for me to sit and watch a football game. So, that ended that part of it. And, it was just a normal night. I got home and it was, wasn't too long bedtime. So, wife and I had gone to bed, and the phone rang, I don't know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, which was Saturday morning, which would have normally been a work day for me anyway, but it was the first sergeant of the National Guard unit, and he had called me, and me being a spy sergeant, I was second to get notice of having to do something, and he said in a quick voice, he said, "We've been activated," and I said, "What? I just got out of the Army last year." what it was all about was that the state police, I'm assuming, was in charge of investigation, had gotten in touch with him that we were going to be activated to go into the mountains to look for the airplane.
So that was the first you'd heard that there was a plane missing.
That was the first I'd heard, and maybe the whole town had heard that the plane was missing. And so I got up, got my fatigues on, and drove on to the armory and started getting some things that I thought maybe we'd need to go. And, of course, First Sergeant was there, and we got, by that time, a few troops had arrived. So I got out one of our big Army trucks, a 2.5-ton truck, and we put the equipment in it and radios. And I said, "Well, where are we going?" He said, "We're going up on the Skyline Drive." And so we went up on the Skyline Drive, but rather than Skyline Drive, we went to the Blue Ridge Parkway to a place called Humpback Rock. That's familiar with everybody anyway.
Sure thing.
So we just parked there, and we set up a radio net. By then, it was beginning to get daylight, and CAP had planes out searching. And so we set up a radio net to work with them, and I'm not sure whether CAP or the Army or the Air Force, one of the other, sent in helicopters to start checking, and I think they're the ones that spotted. And, you know, this is, we're talking a few hours later, and a state police sergeant joined us up there, Sergeant Ritter. And
down at Humpback. That's
at
where
Humpback
you are.
Rock, right. That's where he was.
And this is Saturday, Halloween Day, I guess.
It would have been the 31st, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, We sat and waited, and then he was sort of in charge of things then. He said we had gotten some word, and he had gotten some word that possibly they had located something, and they did. They located the rudder of it could be seen, and that was shining through the trees, and it gave us a location. So Sergeant Ritter got up in the cab of the truck with me, and he said, "We're going up Skyline Drive." So we drove up, and there's a gate there and a fence, and up on top of the mountain at that point are radio towers. And he said, "Can we get up there?" And I said, "I think so." So we drove a 2.5-ton right onto the top of the mountain, and that was the beginning of what we were to do, and we were part of the force of our duty really was to secure the area, which we went down and secured it. And by that time, people had seemed to be coming up, just civilians coming up, looking around, and we had gotten to what are we to do? So we secured the area, we put troops out and like that, and come to Commander Gillis Sullivan was with us, and one of the top sergeants, Howard Addington, was in the crowd with us, and a trooper named Fred Reese. We were sort of the group that went in first. And anyway, we got there and said, well, here it is. And, you know, the bodies were all around. And
so
all
you're on top of the mountain because the plane was located, I guess.
Right.
Not at the top, not at the bottom.
That's right. It was about halfway
up. The worst place
up.
It could be, about halfway up the mountain. So you had to actually approach it from the top of the mountain.
Right. We went down rather than up. So we parked at the top and then walked down.
We're talking with Ken Staples of Staples Barbershop. He was a supply sergeant in October of 1959 and on the scene of the crash of the DC-3, which the anniversary of this tragedy is coming up on October 30th this year, the 50th anniversary. So as you're walking down the mountain, tell me what you saw as you approached the crash.
Something I'd never seen, even going through Korea. It was the airplane in pieces there, and the bodies on the just every way, just on the ground in a circle. I don't know how big it was, but the bodies were there. The sole survivor had already been taken out by the time we got there. So I never did get to meet him on site, but he was taken away and they took him on to the hospital. And so then our job was working with the others, and we were just sort of assigned, not assigned anything, but just the litters were brought in, and so we just started loading the bodies up best we could. There was one in particular, I know it took about 8 of us to get our hands under from each side. The body was, it wasn't broken to the outside, but inside the bones must have been all broken. And it took us that many hands to pick it up and put it up on the litter. And then we set up, going back up the mountain, it was a right good pull. So we set up stations, and 4 men would carry a litter 200 feet, and then 4 men would carry a litter 2 of the same one until we got it back to the top. And then they brought in ambulances and things to put the bodies in and carry them on into town.
Yeah. I have been told, Hoss Spencer, who did the story for The Hook last week and has been researching this for the last few years, said that a lot of the bodies were still strapped to their seats in the plane. Or you know, they were still in the fuselage that had not been broken. And that, you know, there were some in the woods, but a whole lot of them were still in the plane.
Yeah, they were there, and you know, it was a matter of having to get the belts off and put them on the litters and take them on out. But yeah. it was something at that point in my life I'd never seen anything like it.
And as you say, even you didn't see anything like it in Korea. It's serving
that's
in Korea.
Right. Not this particular.
Then you come home to Armagh County, and there it is.
And there it was.
What a tragedy!
Right here, it really was a tragedy. Certainly was.
We're talking with Ken Staples of Staples Barbershop at Barracks Road Shopping Center, a native of Albemarle County in Charlottesville, born here in 1932. This was huge news at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody was talking about this, right?
It was.
Nationally. I mean, this was national headlines.
That's right. Matter of fact, I can't remember who did it. Brought me a newspaper to the barbershop. It was a Philadelphia newspaper. And a big picture right on the front page, and it was an article about the crash here, and gave me the newspaper and said, here, look at this, and I'm right on the front page, 2 of us at the front of one litter going up the hill, carrying with one hand, but timely photographer, I was eating a candy bar.
Oh, you were?
With the other hand, but I was carrying a litter. One of the litters up the hill, my turd.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you didn't get much time for meals, so you had to eat when and wherever you could. That was probably just a long, long weekend for you, I'm sure.
Yes, it was. It that was the big one. Of course, we could talk about others, I suppose, that it happened.
Yeah.
But this one was, it's just something that hadn't happened around here. And when it happened, the town moved in, everybody came in to help. But the National Guard was actually put on active duty to work that wreck and help clean it up and get it back out of there.
Ken Staples was there for the cleanup and to help remove the bodies in 1959 for the crash of the historic crash of the DC-3 in Albemarle County. In the next hour, coming up in just a few minutes, we will be honored to talk with Philip Bradley, the only survivor of that plane crash. He'll join us live on this program. Let's take a very quick break, and when we get back, while you're here, will you tell us as well, there was another tragedy that fall right here in Albemarle County. Two tragedies. The one I know about, I think there was another plane crash, but there was also that terrible destruction in Ivy, mm-hmm. as a tornado went right through Ivy.
That's right.
And killed a whole bunch of people. So, you and I have talked before, you were there as well.
That's
after
right.
that happened. So let's talk about that when we get back. A quick break. More with Ken Staples. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Let's rejoin our conversation with Ken Staples of Staples Barbershop, born right here in Central Virginia, Martha Jefferson Hospital in 1932. Ken, tell us now about this tornado in Ivy, which happened about the same time as this this plane crash back in 1959.
It was. I can't remember if it was, I don't know, 2 weeks or something like that. Same situation. We got a call, and First Sergeant called me and said, there's been a big, must be a tornado. Something's happened in Ivy, and there's state troopers had gotten in touch with him, and so I got out the big army truck again and threw a few things in it, and I drove it to Ivy. They said there would be a group of civilians there, locals, that would be ready to go with me. So I got to, there was a gas station there, and I stopped, and there they were.
About the same place the gas station is today, right? Right in there?
Yeah, it's same
down there at
place
Tossbury.
Before you get to the railroad going west on 250.
Right.
Right in the bottom, it would have been on the left. So we, I said, well, where are we going? They said, well, take this road to the left right here before you got to the railroad. So I turned and went about 100 feet and trees were all over the road, so we couldn't go. I said, well, where are we going? Do you know? It said it's a house we think was hit by the tornado back in this area. And I said, well, how's the terrain from here through there off the road? He said, well, it's not too bad. It's a creek. And so I did. I just took the truck off the road, and away we went up over the hills and down through the valleys. It wasn't all that far, but anyway, we did it that way. And we got back there, and the locals all start getting off the truck and look. And where the house had sit, the story went later that the school bus had come through and had let children out, and they all went in this particular house. The weather was bad, and then so the tornado hit. The bus was gone, and the tornado hit and killed all the children right in that house. And that's why we had been called, because they wanted to go back and find out about it, and we were the best way to get in. So we did, and that was it. So that was at nighttime. So by morning, others began to come in, and they brought some rescue equipment and trucks, and then they hauled the bodies out from that one, from the children, loaded them all up and hauled them away.
Did you get into that house? I mean, did you?
There was
no
house left.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just literally destroyed. They found a refrigerator 1,000 feet from where the house had been, and it was just totally gone.
Yeah, and there were a number of people killed in there, and I think two homes were actually destroyed in that.
Yeah, I don't remember the other, but I do remember the one that had the children in it. So it was bad. Just another one of nature's freaks.
What an awful time, gosh! And there was another plane crash too, wasn't there?
It was, and I timely. It would have been somewhere in that same area. It was down in Dixon, Fluvanna County. It was a Navy plane, a two-man airplane, and it crashed down there. And so we were called again. Matter of fact, we were at drill on Sunday, the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, at the Armory. when we got that call. So we had the troops and all ready to go. So we went down and secured the area and got a call from state police for that, too, and said there's a Navy plane coming up bringing all the equipment you'll need to put the bodies in. So I said, well, where is it? It says it's taking off from Norfolk now, it'll be in Charlottesville and so. And we were a long way from it in a slow truck. So I had one of our officers in the National Guard was a state trooper himself. And he had driven his state police car down there from the armory. I had taken the big truck. And he says, tell you what, you come on, let me drive you back to Charlottesville, and we'll get another truck and go to the airport and get the equipment they bring. I said, okay. I thought that was the biggest mistake I'd made that day because Sergeant Earl Wood was a state trooper. And I got in the car, and we took off and up Route 15 to 250. No interstate in those days. And was making, and I looked at the speedometer, and we were hanging about 100, 105 miles back. I was holding on to all I had in that car. But he got us to Charlottesville, and I got another truck out. He took me to the airport. By then, we had the other Charlottesville airport was all it working. And so he took me up there. We got the equipment and took it back down. But, you know, that airplane hadn't been in Charlottesville about 10 minutes by the time. But that was the fastest.
He could drive, I guess.
That was the fastest ride I ever had in the car. So then we took the equipment back, and we loaded, put them in the big rubber bags, and took them for the Navy to come pick up. So that was the third one.
Yeah, but, three tragedies there in the fall of 1959 right here in Central Virginia.
Yes, it was.
Goodness gracious. And you were there for all three of them.
I was there for all three of them.
Goodness gracious. So I hope things are good at the barbershop. Everybody all right?
Yeah, we're clipping right along. Little barbershop humor there.
Yeah, I need to get in and see Frank. I'm in bad shape. I'm past due.
Right, a little trim wouldn't hurt you.
Absolutely. Ken Staples with Staples Barbershop at Barracks Road. Thank you for being here. I've enjoyed it.
Coy, it's a pleasure to be here each time, and I thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.